All right, it's been quite a while now since we've talked with the Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarbert. We're doing it now on the verge of, or in between storms, I guess, here as we record this on a Friday. But anyway, Senator Tarbert, welcome back. How are you?
Rick, I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Very well, very well. I like the tropical weather. I'm not crazy about hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff like that. But we'll get to that later on. But first, there's sort of, as they say in the business, breaking news. And when last we talked, things were opening up. The skies were brightened. People were feeling much better. And that's all gone away now. So where are we, Senator?
Well, it hasn't gone away completely, Rick, but there are some things that we need to do to protect public health, because we have seen an increase in Massachusetts and, for that matter, everywhere else with regard to COVID-19 cases. I do want to say it is good to be back with you, and one thing people can always count on is MSO being online no matter what's happening. So, even though we are in between storms right now, we know we can count on it throughout the storms. But what's happening today, Rick, that's of significance is that the administration, and more specifically Commissioner Riley, rather, the Commissioner of Education, and Secretary Pizer, have announced that they are going to try to put into action provisions of a regulation that was put into place a while ago, allowing the Board of Education and the Commissioner of Education to take emergency actions to protect public health. And that regulation was put into place because of COVID-19, and it's my understanding that this is one of the first times that it might actually be utilized. And so Commissioner Riley has asked the Board of Education to grant him a declaration of an emergency, which would trigger the provisions of the regulation and allow him to impose a mask mandate. And the commissioner has indicated that if he is given that power at the board meeting, which will be next Tuesday at 10 a.m., he would use it to impose a mask mandate with the beginning of the school year, having everyone wear a mask, in both students and staff, in all of our public schools. And then on October 1st, the schools that have vaccination rates of over 80% or 80% or over would be allowed to have only those that are unvaccinated wear masks and have everyone else not be required to wear a mask. Now, there are a couple of caveats to this. One is that for elementary school students, there is no vaccination available, so they would be required to wear masks regardless of the situation in individual schools. And the Department of Public Health is going to continue to offer vaccination clinics at schools that want them, and also offer testing at schools that want testing. So a lot happening with this breaking news, Rick. And again, today's announcement was of the intention to act, but action really can't be taken until a vote of the Board of Education on next Tuesday.
Anecdotally, it seems that most people, at least in the area on the North Shore, and I use that word loosely, most people are very on board with the idea of having kids wear masks at the moment, especially the younger kids who don't have access to the vaccine. And I think that, of course, you know, you see the headlines of Florida and Texas, and it's counter to that. But Senator, I guess anecdotally, what is your feeling among the community in terms of supporting this?
So, you know, we've been contacted by a number of school districts that have actually asked for a statewide edict so that this didn't have to rely upon individual communities. But individual communities on Cape Ann have gone forward already with mask requirements. I know that's the plan in the Gloucester Public Schools, the Rockport Public Schools. I believe Manchester Essex has done the same thing. And so this pronouncement, this broad statewide pronouncement, is consistent with what we've seen in the communities, or many of the communities in our region. So it seems to me that there is going to be acceptance of this and fairly widespread compliance with it. And again, one of the interesting things, Rick, when we talk about what we're seeing in other parts of the country, is Massachusetts's very strong rates of vaccination across every age category. And Governor Baker reminds us repeatedly that it is those rates that are preventing us from having the scenarios that we see in other states with emergency departments full, with acute care beds full, with field hospitals being set up. We don't have that situation, and he would suggest, and I think he's correct, that that's largely because of the vaccination rates that we have. And so in many ways, it seems that this requirement, this mask requirement, is another way to drive home the point that people should get vaccinated, because if they reach that 80%, then things can change in individual schools.
The governor has been pretty steadfast in his reluctance to implement a statewide mask edict once again, you know, for businesses and that kind of stuff. But he is taking some steps in terms of the executive branch, in terms of maybe getting government people vaccinated.
It's true. And one thing about the way that Governor Baker has operated throughout the entire pandemic is he goes where the facts and the science take him. And he does things methodically, and he's done them incrementally in many respects. And we're seeing that, Rick, with regard to the vaccination requirement for executive branch employees. So they will be required to have a vaccination or proof of vaccination by October 17th. And the governor has been very, very adamant about that requirement and the fact that it will be enforced.
Is there any news, and I know this is it's not quite off topic, but we didn't talk about it in our pregame. Is there any news with respect to a third booster shot in the state? Is that something that is pending? It's coming down the road? Because I know on television the other day, the governor expressed real frustration in not getting any guidelines from the federal government.
I don't know how much clarity I can shed on that today, Rick. I can say that we are definitely, as a nation, heading in that direction, and I would assume, given our aggressive posture with regard to vaccination in this state, that we will be moving forward with that, but I don't have any firm information about that right now. What I will say is that one of the things that has happened during the pandemic that has been very gratifying to see is local vaccination collaboratives come into being, one in the lower Merrimack Valley and one in the Cape Ann region. And, of course, those clinics are open to folks even outside of those regions, but they allow folks to go and get a vaccination locally. And I had predicted when we were working on setting up both of those clinics that they would pay dividends not only in the short term but also in the long term as other vaccinations were required. And this booster shot, which I believe nationally is going to become available sometime around September 8th, is certainly an example of how those clinics will continue to play an important role in our lives.
All right, let's turn our attention to the skies here. We are between storms, and I know the Coast Guard has been posting advisories for boaters at this time of year along the coast, of course, you know, out on Cape Cod, up on Cape Ann, and basically they're saying, you know, get out of the water. But what's the latest from your vantage point?
So what we're hearing is we are going to have the hurricane come very close to us, and it appears right now pass directly over parts of Massachusetts. The indication is that it will probably be, as it approaches us, a near hurricane or hurricane strength storm, but soon thereafter will probably degrade to a tropical storm. I'm not a meteorologist, but I know what that translates into is we're going to have significant amounts of rainfall. We're going to have significant amounts of wind. And for those of us on the coast, that means we have to be concerned about flooding and erosion. And I'm assuming here that there also is the possibility of some power outages. So what that means right now is we have to be alert and we have to be prepared. And we have to be ready to deal with what is coming. Now, that means doing things like having a portable radio with batteries or whatever it takes to power it, having our cell phones charged, making sure we have the water available, drinking water, and some food. It means we shouldn't overreact, but we need to do the reasonable things that we need to do to be prepared. But, Rick, it is a very, very dynamic situation, and so we have been receiving reports in our office from the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, and we have been posting those, and we will continue to post those throughout the storm event on tarptalk.com and on my Facebook page so that people can see what's happening. And, of course, Rick, if something happens and folks need help, you know, we would encourage them, first of all, it's an emergency, to call 911. But in terms of other things that might happen, particularly as we deal with the aftermath of the storm, I would encourage folks to reach out to us if we can be helpful by calling 617-722-1600 or by sending me an email at bruce.tarr@masenate.gov.
Well, you can't get any more informed than that. That's great. And unfortunately, Senator, Friday is my grocery shopping day. So I have to go out around 5 p.m. on Friday, and I got to face the music, man. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention, Senator? Because it's been a couple of weeks since we've last talked.
So I would only mention, Rick, that the executive branch has certainly moved forward with a vaccination mandate for its employees. I would say it is likely that next week we'll be hearing about a similar mandate for the members of the Senate and staff. Not sure what's going to happen with the House, but I think they'll probably do something as well. Again, I can't say that officially yet because it hasn't happened yet, but I think it's certainly within the realm of possibility. And also, the other thing that folks should know about is that we continue to think about how to spend about $5 billion in federal ARPA money, and we're still receiving thoughts and ideas about that. The Ways and Means Committees are thinking about ways to spend that money. My hope is that we will be able to push some of that money out the door quickly so that we can get started on important infrastructure projects that need to happen. And my hope also, Rick, is that we'll find a way maybe to give the taxpayers a little bit of relief, too, because they've endured this pandemic, and, you know, we just did a sales tax holiday. I'm pleased that we did that. I hope we can find some other ways to reward people that have been going through a very challenging time and deserve some broad-based relief from some of their tax obligations so that we can help them out in that way, too.
If my mother were still alive, Senator, she'd have some advice for you on how to spend the $5 billion. She would have some ideas.
Well, Rick, one thing that I think is important is that we do use a lot of that money for things that are lasting in nature, like roads and bridges and water treatment plants and sewage treatment plants, and that we also put some of that away. And so one thing that we've already done is create a trust fund for the Student Opportunity Act so we can meet our obligations to fund that measure for public education. And we've created a trust as well for our unfunded pension liability so that we can use some of the money we have today to be able to minimize or reduce our unfunded obligation and be able to reduce overall costs because we won't have to borrow that money, hopefully, in the future. So, yeah, I think she'd be happy with those things, Rick. But, you know, if you get any sense of other things we could do, be happy to hear it.
All right. Another informative session with Senate Minority Leader, Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.